down to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, page 967 in your Scofield Bible, 967, beginning with verse 1, we'll read through verse 8, the 8th verse being the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read these verses responsibly. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of garment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We have an exceptional opportunity this evening. Nowhere in the world does there exist a place like this. Nowhere in the world is there anything more important going on than what's going on here. We're privileged to be here. Thank you for our church, thank you for our preacher. Thank you for faithful leadership these years. Now as we look forward to a life-changing week for many people, Pastor School Week, help us, prepare us, but help us right now just to listen and to take to heart that which is preached in Jesus' name. Amen.
Another one of my voice students I'm proud of. I like to show off my class that I teach, when I teach voice. And now tonight, if I could reach out and just shake every young person here and say, if you ever listen to a sermon, listen to this one, I would. If I could grab every college student and especially every college male student and say, shut up, quit talking, quit looking at your girlfriend and drooling, and listen to me, I'd do it. If I could make everybody in this room listen, I would. This will not be the best sermon you've ever heard, the best sermon I've ever preached. But I want to speak tonight from that one little verse, an amazing statement in Zechariah. You don't turn to it, I'll read it. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. I want to speak tonight on the subject, men wondered at. The word wonder there would have several synonyms. One would be marveled at. Listen to me, no talking back here. Men, I just got through saying, I want you young folks to hear me. The kids were men wondered at. You could say men marveled at. Or men admired. Or perhaps the best synonym would be men at whom I am amazed. Men wondered at. That's the title of my sermon. I want you to listen carefully. I want you to sit up straight. I'm going to help you. You see, people marvel when they hear about our church and then meet me. I'm not what they expect. They expect some fellow with charisma, with a big, heavy set a fellow with talent, and they see an old man, 71 years of age, 5 foot 11 inches tall, and it's not what they expect to see. And I'm going to tell you tonight. Now, if anybody here wonders about whatever success that Brother Hiles has had, I'm going to put my finger on probably 75% of it tonight. Now, understand this. I'm trying to get your attention to listen to the sermon. You understand that I failed public speaking in high school. You understand that my first sermon, I stuttered for 3 minutes and sat down and asked forgiveness to the people because I was supplying for a pastor who was on vacation. And the deacon chairman got up and apologized. He said, "I thought the guy could preach. I'm sorry." They dismissed the service after I had stuttered and stammered for 3 minutes. Now that fellow, who was not reared at the knee of a theologian or a deacon or a preacher, that fellow, at the age of 21, was pastoring a full-time church. 50 years ago, I started pastoring a full-time church. That fellow, at the age of 27, was running 1,000 in Sunday school in his church. That little timid, shy fellow, at the age of 29, was running 1,600 to 1,800 in Sunday school without any buses. At the age of 32, he became pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. In his middle 40s, he became pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world. And now for 25 years, our Sunday school has been the largest in the world. Now, I'm going to put my finger. I want you to listen. I'm not bragging on myself, though I am a very wonderful person. But I'm not bragging on myself. I want to tell you one of the great, if not the most important thing that I've done. And preacher boys, if you don't do this, you'll fall flat on your face, and I hope you will. Our Father, I pray you to help me tonight. I really need your help, and I want to be a help, and I cannot be a help unless you help me. Please help me. Amen. There's no statement that irritates me quite as much as to hear some smart aleck get up and say to preacher boys, "You be yourself." That's one of the dumbest statements that's ever been made. And it's such a nice statement, and preachers love to make it because it makes them sound good. You'll just be yourself. The truth is, I'm not a self-made man. Let me tell you how I became whatever I am. I'm a combination of men I've wondered at. I'm a combination of men that I've admired. I'm a combination of men who amaze me. I'm a combination of men at whom I have marveled. And I'm a combination of my heroes. And I'm a combination of men whom I've carefully studied. I make no bones about it. I'm no original. I'm a copy. I'm a copy of every man that I have studied, and I've studied dozens of them through the years. And the great secret to my little ministry is this. Hear me carefully. I have wondered at the right men. Men wondered at Zechariah 3:8. I have not wondered at men like Bill Clinton, a draft-dodging philanderer. How can he order troops to go to Iran when he dodged the draft himself? I have not wondered at men like Michael Jordan, a well-known gambler. Look what, if he died today, look what he's accomplished. He's taken a round ball, blown up with air, and tossed it through a piece of plumbing. More than anybody's ever lived. Boy, what a contribution to humanity. And he makes $35 million salary plus all the other. Now, if he's your hero, get right with God. I have not wondered, I have not been amazed at Michael Jordan. When I was 3 years old, I was bouncing a round ball on the floor and throwing it through a basket up on the back door. I have not wondered at men like Scottie Pippen, the well-known unwed father. And if I start cheering anybody, I'll cheer Lee Robertson, not Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. I have not wondered at Arnold Schwarzenegger, a famous R-rated movie actor, and if he's your hero, you're not right with God. I said, you're not right with God. Not only that, you're an idiot besides. Now, if you're built like him, I take it back. I have not wondered or been amazed at Dennis Rodman, a famous bisexual cross-dresser, or Michael Jackson, a gyrating queer. I have not wondered at Brett Favre, a former addict. I have not wondered at Norman Vincent Peale, a famous rank liberal, or Walter Payton, or Clint Eastwood, or Ted Kennedy, or Jim McMahon, or Shaquille O'Neal, or Martin Luther King Jr., or Jimmy Carter, or Muhammad Ali, or Wayne Gretzky, or Charles Barkley, or Magic Johnson, or Joe Montana. Whatever you see on this platform, and by the way, whatever you see in this room tonight, and whatever you see at 8400 Burr Street in Crown Point, Indiana, whatever you see on Joliet Street at Baptist City, is because there was a little fella who had an empty bucket who decided to fill it with the traits of great men. I wondered at the right men. I have chosen older men to wonder at. Like my pastor, J.C. Sizemore. Little short fella. I studied him. I'm talking about when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. I didn't sit in church and misbehave and write in the songbook. I watched that man up on the platform. I watched the way he sat. I watched the way he walked. I studied him. I watched the way he crossed his legs. I watched the way he preached. I watched the way he shook hands. I watched the way he talked the Bible. I watched the way he carried his Bible. He was a man I wondered at because I wanted some J.C. Sizemore in me. See, what you want to be is a self-made man. The honest truth is, if you are, you'll kill somebody someday. Or somebody else. Listen, there are no successful self-made men. None whatsoever. But he said, don't copy anybody. Oh, shut up. Copy everybody you can. It's successful. I wanted some J.C. Sizemore in me. I chose men to wonder at like Dr. George Schaefer. You don't know that name. Dr. George Schaefer, when I knew him, was almost 90 years of age. He was my pastor's pastor. He was the man that taught J.C. Sizemore. When I became pastor of the Grange Hall Baptist Church, my first full-time church in East Texas, that little building out there that you see, when I became pastor there, the first guest speaker I had was Dr. George Schaefer. Almost 90 years of age. I watched the way he walked. I watched the way he preached. At the restaurant, I watched the way he ate. I watched his manners. I watched the way he talked to people. I studied Dr. George Schaefer. I wondered at him. He was a man to wonder at. I wanted to be like the man my pastor was like. I wanted to be influenced by the man that influenced my pastor. I'll tell you what. This is a generation where we got the most idiotic heroes a generation has ever had. You want a hero? Go to the Philippine Islands and choose Rick Martin. And choose his family, giving their lives to go halfway around the world and live in a third world country. You ought to see the place they live in. You ought to see it. I'm trying to say, if you want to have a hero, go down to Mexico City. And you see that great work down there and by Dr. Kevin Wynn. And you see that man in Mexico City who, with seven kids living in a little apartment building and having to do without. And then you see him one day after all these years in Mexico City, after having built a church from nothing, started it up to 1,500 to 1,600 and sometimes more in Sunday school. And finally, they get up enough money to start building a house.
And she's so excited, and he's so excited, and the children will finally have enough room without having to sleep, all of them, in the living room. And then the government of Mexico City comes and bulldozes the house that he started to build and doesn't give him a dime for it. I'm telling you, you want a hero, quit looking at some guy that wears short pants and bounces a ball, and a guy that goes to Las Vegas to gamble. Quit looking at a bunch of whoremongers because they can put a ball through a hoop. Listen, what you do is you choose some men who are changing the future and the eternity of people in this world.
I wondered at Gustave Norling. In his 90s, had served his Lord in the country of Norway. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. As a missionary all of his life, was in his last days in East Texas, last months. Every week, one afternoon a week, I'd go out between Marshall and on the Shreveport Highway, between Marshall and Shreveport, and I'd sit there for 2 hours and wander at Gustave Norling. That man giving his life on the mission field. I wondered at him, and I studied him. I wanted some Gustave Norling in me. I've never been a self-made man. I do not claim to be a self-made man. You're looking tonight at a recipe of the ingredients of many men whom I've studied. I wanted some Gustave Norling in me. I wondered at Bob Jones Sr. I listened intently to every sermon he preached. I got every tape he'd ever made, every record ever made, and I listened to it. I got every sermon he ever had on the screen and watched that sermon on the screen. I read every word that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. wrote, every word again and again that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. wrote. You see, I was a little poor boy from the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. I was the kid that flunked public speaking. I was the least likely person in our church to ever be a preacher. But I tell you what I can do. I can study men. I can watch men. I can listen to men. I can have the right heroes. And I can try to emulate men who've been successful. And I watched and studied Dr. Bob Jones Sr. because I wanted some of that great Christian philosopher inside of Jack Hiles. And you quit bragging because you're a self-made man. You just study the right men and wonder at the right men. And you wonder, I'll tell you what you are when you tell me who your heroes are. I wondered, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., in the last days of his life, he asked for me to come. I took our daughter Becky, because she loved him so dearly, with me down to Greenville. Walked in the old hospital, not the one they have now, but the old hospital, sort of a clinic like. Walked in that room where Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was spending his last days. I thought I could hear the footprints of soldiers for Christ marching all over the world. As I walked in that room and sat there with one of the greatest men of God who ever breathed a breath, I knelt at his knees and asked him to place his hand on me and pray for me. He did. I watched him. I studied him. The writer said, men wondered at. Who do you wonder at? Who do you study? Some of you all listen right now and quit misbehaving, and you might want to study a fella that knew Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I'm sick and tired of a bunch of glamour boys entering the ministry. I'm tired of you thinking you can make it because you've got a good personality. I'm sick and tired of you thinking you can make it because you've got charisma. You'll fall flat on your pretty face. I talked to Kevin Wynn the other day, and he told me that while he was sitting in Howells Anderson College, he studied everybody. He sat right there with his little girlfriend, and he became his wife, sat right there on that pew right there where those two ugly fellows are tonight. And he and his precious wife sat right there, and they kept their eyes open and watched everything that went on. Rick Martin told me that while he was at Howells Anderson College, he kept his eyes on everybody that was successful that walked across the platform of Howells Anderson College. I'm saying, the men that you wonder at will determine what you are. I'd hate to think, now listen carefully, I'd hate to think that I made decisions about my life on the basis of a stupid basketball or a dumb football or a stupid baseball. Good night, get some religion. Who do you wonder at? Who do you want? Men wondered at.
I wandered for 22 years at John Wright, studied him, watched him as he ate, watched him as he studied, watched him as he read, watched him as he witnessed, watched him as he preached. I was walking in East Texas Baptist College and had never met John Rice. I'd heard about him, but I stepped on a paper. I looked down, it said, "The Sword of the Lord." I picked it up, and there's a picture of Billy Sunday and a sermon by Billy Sunday. And I read that sermon, and I started reading The Sword of the Lord. Listen, within 6 months, I read everything that John Rice had written. I had never seen him, but I read every single... Listen, their preacher boys here tonight. You haven't even read all I've written. You read the sport page, but you haven't read all I've written. I read everything that John Rice wrote within 6 months. I became pastor in Garland, Texas a few years later. We had a member of our church named Mancheck. And she was a relative of Farris Shepherd, who worked with the Sword of the Lord for years. Dr. Rice was preaching revival in Dallas. And the Manchecks had him over to eat. And they asked Miss Hiles and I if we'd come and eat with him. I'd never met him. I'd heard about him. I'd read everything he ever wrote. I'd studied him. He was a man I wondered at. We walked in that dining room that night. I could hardly shake his hand. I was sitting at the same table with John R. Rice. I promise you, I watched how he picked up his fork. I watched how he held his bread. I watched how he sat at the table. I watched how he conversed. And for 22 years, I studied that man. And yet you sit here and flirt with your girlfriend while preaching is going on in First Baptist Church of Hammond. You sit back there, some of you young people, and misbehave and talk to each other. But you won't amount to something. You better realize you're not so hot. I mean, the sun doesn't come up every morning to hear you crow. I'm trying to tell you tonight that you're not so hot. What you need to do is you need to wonder at the right men and let those men become a part of you. I want him to have some of John Rice inside of me. I wondered at Dr. G.B. Vick, that time pastor of the largest church in the world, a great leader. I watched him. I stayed oftentimes, I preached with him. Sometimes we'd stay in the same hotel room together. I'd talk with him, ask him questions. I would watch him, and as he studied, I'd listen to him, how he read the Bible. I'd watch how he preached. Why? I wanted some of Bob Jones Sr. in me. I wanted some of J.C. Sizemore in me. I wanted some of George Schaefer in me. I wanted some of Bob Jones Sr. in me. I wanted some of Gustave Norling in me. And I wanted some of John Rice in me. But some of you folks, you got Shaquille O'Neal in you. You got Michael Jordan in you. You got Pippen, whatever that guy's name is. You got Scottie Pippen in you. You got Joe Montana in you. You got Favre in you. I'm trying to tell you what you need to do. Listen, when you say preacher, I'm not a preacher. What should I do? Study him. Hey, there's a greater hero right there than all your basketball stars put together. I'm sick and tired of God. Listen, I'm not against this high school having a basketball team. But hey, what I am against, I'm against you letting it decide where you go to school later on. Now you listen to me. There's something in this world besides bouncing a ball or shooting a basket or throwing a pass. There's a world going to hell. There are hungry people that need feeding, and there are poor people that need helping, and fallen people that need lifting. Why don't you amount to something in life? You say, you preaching to me? I bet I am. Good night. What's wrong with us? Where is your sense of values? Who do you wonder at tonight? I wondered Lester Roloff. I watched him. Everything but what he ate. He stood behind this pulpit. He's talking about how he's eating. He never preached with a coat on. He'd take his coat off. He was built like a milk bottle or a Coke bottle. He's talking about health food, and he did this. Looked like grapes on either bicep here. But I watched him. I watched the way he preached. And by the way, if you heard Roloff and Bob Jones and Lee Robertson and John Rice and all those men, you'll hear them in me again and again and again and again. You say, Brother House, can't you conquer that? Don't want to conquer it. I want some Lester Roloff in me. I want some John Rice in me. I want some George Schaefer in me. I want some J.C. Sizemore in me. I want some Gus Dave Norling in me. Men wondered at Bill Rice, Charles Wagon, and others I studied. No, I'm not a self-made man. No, I'm not my own man. I'm a student who chose great heroes to wonder at. I'm a recipe with ingredients I found in these great men. I am what these great men made me, and you're hearing them tonight through me. I had no bucket to empty, so I filled it with them. You said, Brother Hiles, okay. You knew these great men. These men wondered at. These men to be wondered at, to be amazed at, to marvel at. You knew them. I didn't get to know them. What can I do? The same thing I did to get to know Charles G. Finney. I never saw him. I read his life. Same thing I did to get to know Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I never met Spurgeon or Finney or George Whitfield or Billy Sunday or Dwight Moody or John Bunyan or Adoniram Judson or David Livingston, George Mueller, Praying Hyde, William Carey, or C.T. Studd, but I read every word I could find about every one of them. Put down that Sports Illustrated and read the history, read the lives of these great men. I said, put down the Sports Illustrated and read something so you can wonder at the right men. You read that Sports Illustrated or Sports Magazine, and by the way, I don't read them. I don't read them. I like to keep up with whatever happens in the sports world, but I don't go to games except once a year to a high school game. And I'm not criticizing folks that do. I am criticizing people who wander at a bunch of heathen, pagan, godless whoremongers. Men wondered at. When I was in college, by the time I graduated, I had read every biography of every great preacher in the library of East Texas Baptist College. Every one of them. All these men I talked about a while ago, I had read every word of every biography that they had. While other students were playing basketball, hanging around the snack shop, reading magazines and studying pretty girls. Would you like to know where those young ministerial aspirants are tonight? Out of the ministry. Men wondered at. I have no doubt that what I'm talking about tonight is why at the age of 21 I was pastor of a full-time church. At the age of 26 or so, I had 1,000 people in attendance. By the time I was 27, 28, 29 years of age, I had 1,600 in attendance. I have no doubt that that's why this church called me when I was at 32 years of age. I have no doubt that that's why here we have the world's largest Sunday school. Our 35th pastor school starts a week from tomorrow night. I wondered at the right man. Men wondered at. Listen carefully. Some of the greatest Christians in this world are sitting tonight in this room. They're lay people. You could do a lot worse than study them. Tonight, as I look all over this building, I look at great Christians. And while you worship some secular hero, men wondered at. I wondered at Jesse Cobb, who taught me soul winning. I wondered at Proctor Boyd, my favorite teenage Sunday school teacher, when I was a teenager, my teacher. I wondered at J.T. Sizemore, the son of my pastor, who taught me more about Sunday school building and promotion. And if you had been there in Hillcrest Baptist Church when J.T. Sizemore was there, you, as you heard me talk tonight, you'd see J.T. Sizemore and me while I was promoting the big day a while ago. Well, with the Hogs, I'm going to be my own man. Well, bully, bully for you. You're going to flop, too. Would you tell me why you want to be your own man when you could be a combination of great men whom you could wander at? Dr. Bob Gray in Longview says the reason he comes to pastor school every year and has for 20-some-odd years now. He said every year he learns all Brother Howes knows. But he says Brother Howes learned some things in a year he hadn't heard yet. So he comes to find out what he learned in the last year. I don't claim to be a great man, but I tell you what I do. I claim to have a lot of these great men stored up inside of me and a lot of their thoughts and ideas and so forth. And I can teach you how to be a little bit like Bob Jones Sr. and John Rice and Gus Dave Norling and these great men. Men wondered at. I wondered at Sam Montgomery, a businessman who was a Sunday school teacher. I wondered at Troy Jackson, one of the most enthusiastic Sunday school teachers I ever saw. I wondered at Elmer Tamke, my coach. I wondered at Mr. Boy. But let me stop and say this. If you're going to wonder at somebody that's an athlete, wonder at that man right there instead of Michael Jordan. If Michael Jordan did what he did, he'd quit playing basketball years ago and gone to Christian school. I wondered at Mr. Ford, our deacon chairman. I never wondered at some movie whoremonger or soap opera star or rock music star or famous athlete or some politician or some Olympic hero. I happened to wonder at the right people. Brother Sizemore is gone now. I remember shortly before he left, he was 90 years of age. I was in Amarillo, Texas, preaching. He was there living with his son, who was a pastor there, who's also gone now. I went to see him. He was 90. I talked to him for a while. He was senile. He's gone now. George Schaefer has been gone for years now. Gus Dave Norling has been gone probably for 50 years or 45, 50 years. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is gone. My crowd's gone now, just about. That's one reason I love Dr. Robertson so much. He's the only one I got left. He's the only one of my heroes that I had that's left. John Rice is gone. I preached his funeral. G.B. Vick is gone. I was out in Wyoming, Rock Springs, Wyoming, sitting in the motel room. The phone rang, and they called me from his office, and they dropped dead with a heart attack. I preached with him the last Tuesday night. He's gone now. R.G. Lee is gone. He stood outside that door as I gave him a check for $3,000 for preaching here and cried and said, that's the largest check I ever received in my life. R.G. Lee is gone now. He asked if he could spend his 90th birthday here at First Baptist Church, and did, preaching payday someday. Charles Weigel's gone. Dr. Bill Rice, my good friend, is gone. Ford Porter's gone. I preached his funeral. Lester Roloff is gone. I preached his funeral also. Jesse Cobb is gone. Dr. Boyd's gone. But they all still live. They live in young men like me, who chose them to be men to be wandered at. Would you bow your heads, please?